Thanks for continuing on with us. My name is Ibrahim Sani, taking over from my colleague Nina Rosman and the entire Niaga team. One day before Hari Raya, that's the idea right now when we look at the big announcement that is expected to be made this afternoon. Just this morning, we've received a memo from the Ministry of Communications and Digital saying that there would be a big news to be made by the Minister of Communications and Digital, YB Fahmi Fadzil, at 3 p.m. today. We're going to be bringing the conversation live. We're going to be doing this from the entire day, but the big coverage is going to come from 2 p.m. onwards. But of course, the announcement by the minister is expected to be done by 3 p.m. This is because Malaysia plans to introduce a second 5G network from next year. This is coming in from four sources that have been reported by Reuters. In the latest policy shakeup aimed at dismantling monopolies and promoting competition by the Prime Minister, Datuk Seri Anwar Ibrahim's six-month-old administration, Malaysia's 5G rollout by the DNB, or State Agency Digital National Berhad, has seen to be repeating some setbacks since its launch in December 2021, largely because the industry is presenting concerns over pricing and transparency and the whole notion of a single wholesale network, because the worries that the single wholesale network and single government-run network could result in a nationalised monopoly. Following this, the former CEO of DNB has also not been renewed his contract. He has been since removed from his office over the past few months. And of course, the matter is expected to be announced later today. We're looking at this topic to be deep-dived throughout the day. And joining us for this morning is Julian Gorman of GSMA, joining us from Indonesia. Thanks for taking the time to join us and speak with us live, Julian. Let's look at some of the ideas on how we got here in the first place. Maybe you can walk through us on the history of the 5G spectrum allocation, and it was announced in the previous government and quickly retracted, if you remember that. And then, of course, we're looking at the telcos trying to execute a 5G network, and then it was not executed. And then, of course, the creation of 5G to further facilitate this movement. Maybe you can walk through us into how we got here in the first place before we jump into the whole idea of a single wholesale network and why industry players like yourself, like GSMA and many other telcos are expressing concerns. Julian.
Sure. Thanks, Ibrahim, and good morning. Thank you, Ibrahim, and good morning. Certainly, it's been quite a journey for Malaysia, and GSMA appreciates and has enjoyed being part of that journey and helping along. Yeah, we certainly remember passing mine back to the showcase in Langkawi in early 2020, as Malaysia first set out with some bold steps and talking about having a single wholesale network constructed by the operators. But at that time in Langkawi, I was a very positive mood, showing use cases and potential innovations that were looking to come on in Malaysia. And there was a wide variety and a lot of participants, stakeholders from the ecosystem looking and showcasing what they were doing in innovation. And I think since then, with the passage of time and the changes in policy and plan, that we've seen an hesitancy and concern about the future and the stability and certainty of Malaysia's 5G plan to be able to support its vision to be a regional leader. And as it stepped through those different reviews and allocation of spectrum to DNB and the launch, while a lot of steps have been made to provide coverage, and there's been a lot of challenges to overcome as there is in any market launching 5G, I think the general hesitancy has shown, compared to regional leaders in 5G, that Malaysia continues to fall behind, and certainly looking for today maybe some positive comments about change in the journey. And we applaud the government in the way that they've taken on this review and consider themselves that they are part of an active ecosystem, but it's in a very dynamic and changing digital economy. And it's important for Malaysia to continue to adapt and review its progress and make sure it is setting solid foundations for moving forward. So we look forward to today's announcement, and certainly hope that what comes of it will allow the ecosystem and all the participants to come together and make some very strong steps forward to advance Malaysia's journey to its Digital Malaysia vision. And GSMA looks forward to being part of that.
Of course, we need to look at some of the information on the setbacks that have been faced in the rollout of DNB itself. The story of how we got here is important, yes. But of course, we're looking at the launch of DNB at December 2021, and it's been April 2023. So we're looking at 2 years now. How do you present this whole situation in terms of DNB doing its job? And maybe you can give us a little bit of a report card assessment by GSMA in terms of how well or how poorly DNB has been made.
Well, I think Malaysia's decision to go with a single wholesale network built by the government was always going to be a tough challenge. It's the only market or a major market in the world that's taken these steps, and it's taken them in the shadow of a number of countries' attempts to take single wholesale networks 4G for very similar reasons as communicated by the government around reducing costs and trying to encourage innovation adoption. And those markets like Mexico has since gone bankrupt since the DNB was announced. And more recently, Rwanda revised their single wholesale network plan and looking to introduce competition. That was just a month ago. And so two of the major markets in the world that took single wholesale networks decisions in the past have changed and now taken a different path. And I think DNB, the setup of DNB, the time constraints, the ambitions were very admirable. But I think it was a challenge that history has shown as not very possible to support and or to deliver the objectives. And I think, in looking at options to maybe introduce other network infrastructure competition will allow Malaysia to rely on some more tried market dynamics to achieve its innovation and digital Malaysia vision.
Of course, we're looking at the possibility of the introduction of a second 5G network starting from January next year. And this, of course, will affect the existing agreements within DNB and our Swedish telecoms giant developing partner, which is Ericsson and other mobile operators. Of course, this is just speculative. The cabinet is currently, as we speak, in session. They're trying to iron this out and make this a cabinet decision, of course, that is going to be mooted by the minister himself and his ministry. Would you go through with us in terms of if indeed the government is going to announce a second 5G network starting from next year, what would be some of the arrangements, current arrangements, that is going to be impacted, considering that a few telcos have indeed already bought shares inside DNB. DNB has done a lot of work together with Ericsson. How will this impact the present dynamics, assuming a second 5G is being introduced?
Sure. Well, I mean, GSMA doesn't have access or visibility of the detailed commercial arrangements behind DNB, of course. But I think, some of the challenges that need to overcome is how will spectrum be allocated? There is limits on spectrum. And so there is making sure that, spectrum is allocated for additional networks. There's also the matter that the operators already themselves have spectrum that's being used for 3 and 4G that can be now or in the future used for 5G. And so there will be things, especially in considering that space. When it comes down to infrastructure rollout, Malaysia's ambition to get to 80% population coverage would put it on par with some peers in the region. Although from GSMA, we would say that, population coverage is maybe not the measure for success of 5G rollout. 5G is very much around an enterprise transformation generation. And so it's more about innovation and are you creating an ecosystem? And so with an expansion of infrastructure competition, then obviously there will be more activity in rollout, but in using existing operators or the assumption that maybe existing operators would be used, there is infrastructure already on poles that could be updated. And so I expect the rollout of a second network could probably perhaps achieve coverage levels that we're seeing with DNB now in a maybe faster time, because you'd be leveraging existing equipment, existing vendors. But that will, I think, enable a faster and more solid and stable ecosystem. And that's what we're looking to make sure that we can attract in investors and innovators who are going to try and explore the extent of how 5G can be used to transform enterprise and industry. And that's what I think is one of the big factors holding back Malaysia's 5G ecosystem now is the uncertainty. So a strong vision and a statement from the government look to bring together the ecosystem, attract more investors and more innovation. And, you know, we think that will build on, you know, some of the bold and strong steps we're already seeing. So Meranti, agency under the Ministry of Science, Technology and Innovation recently held a round table with a bunch of stakeholders looking at how they can participate in growing innovation. I think steps like that will only be amplified and advanced by the introduction of additional infrastructure competition, which attracts that additional investment and uncertainty to move forward.
If you've just joined us, Julian Gorman of GSMA has just joined us live. He's currently joining us from Indonesia. We're looking at some of the possibilities of an announcement coming in from the government on the possibility of announcing a second wholesale network for 5G. That expectation of announcement that is expected to be made this afternoon at 3 p.m. by the Minister of Communications and Digital. Julian, let's move on in terms of our conversation regarding the 5G development in this country. Of course, everything is about money. At the end of the day, it's all about money. It's not cheap, to say the least, when it comes to introducing a wholesale network for 5G, single, dual or multiple wholesale networks. We're looking at the industry, the telco industry, facing extremely thin margins right now. Both of us just came out of the MWC conference in Barcelona, and I can't help but feel that this industry is talking about the need for other industry players to help see if there is a possibility of industry players being subsidized by content providers, for instance, the internet companies or the AI companies, perhaps trying to see how they can shoulder up some of the investment on development of the networks or network communications, either 5G or 4G. We're looking at an industry that is facing very turbulent times, or at least trying times. I wouldn't say turbulent, trying times. Do you feel that this industry is facing the utmost pressure and perhaps has never been seen before? And how do you think telcos, particularly Malaysian telcos, need to pave its way forward? Are we looking at even narrower margins for these existing players? Is there an M&A already in place for some of the incumbents? We've seen how Digi and Celcom has to merge because of market pressures. What will be the future, near-term future, when it comes to telco companies and their fate in rolling out 5G networks here in this country?
Sure. I mean, there's no doubt there's some global macroeconomic pressures at the moment, with global economy under pressure. I think that has its impact in a number of different ways. A key factor being competition for investment and innovation will intensify. And so countries need to be very conscious that in a digital economy, you're not only competing within your domestic market, but actually it's very important to understand that a country needs to make itself attractive for innovation, global innovation investment. Now, when it comes to the global telecoms market, I think there's different pressures and different circumstances across the region, and as you mentioned, there certainly is some discussion, especially in Europe, around the investment gap, and GSMA is an active part of that conversation. I would say one thing for Asia Pacific, it's a very diverse region, and it's where there's still organic growth to play. Undoubtedly, customers and consumers have an incredible appetite for use of data, or mobile data, and we see, especially in countries like Malaysia, the appetite and growth in data is creating a huge demand and accelerating demand on the networks. But in some sense, 5G is also an opportunity for operators to introduce a more efficient network, a more climate, global, ESG-friendly network. And I think countries and the usage adopted, we're seeing in some of the advanced market in Asia Pacific, are actually revenues on the rise. And innovation, which is driving new use cases, is providing new opportunities. I think Malaysia, it's important that Malaysia becomes part and a leader in that pursuit of industry transformation, because I think Malaysia sits at the intersection of some of the biggest 5G markets that we're going to see in the world, with China to the north, India recently launching to the west, Indonesia to the south. and centre, geographic centre of a very, very innovative and fast adopting ASEAN region. And so I think Malaysia has a great opportunity. There is some domestic challenges with the market and finding a good solution to the 5G plan where everyone buys in and becomes active, I think will also help maybe some of the past challenges in the domestic market. As you say, you've seen a merger of Digi and Cellcom, and I think that's one of the steps that we may see more of in the future, not only in Malaysia, but across the region, as you drive to a more efficient and a more digitally centred economy. And it's important, and we applaud the Malaysian government for taking the steps and understanding that they are part and they're very central to making sure that Malaysia's digital economy has the advantages and the attractiveness to get investment and help not only become an inclusive digital economy, but make sure that's a very sustainable mobile industry that's supporting the foundations for a digital economy.
The last time we had you on, we were talking about the GSMA report and the upside of a possibility of Malaysia enjoying not a single wholesale network. And do you feel that some of the items that is being presented in that report that was published earlier this year could be materialised because of the action that the government is taking now? Or do you think that it still takes a lot of effort in terms to realise the theoretical upside that is being presented in the GSMA report, Julian?
Well, I think, it's a journey. There's no doubt, and we see it across the most advanced markets who are taking on 5G. It's not a single decision to launch 5G, maybe make some spectrum. It's part of a journey. I mean, by example, the World Radio Council this year, we're considering allocation of more spectrum for 5G because the forecast growth in data and usage of 5G over the next 5, 10, 15 years is significant. And so 5G is not just about being launched, it's actually a journey where we're going to see transformation, and just like in 4G where, at the beginning it was hard to see the platform gig economy that evolved, we're going to see real changes in the way we interact with each other around the world and how industry operates, where digital moves from being a transformation of physical to digital, to actually digital being the core. And that's what we see as a real change in the eras from digital societies where we've been focusing on transforming physical to digital to actually what we call digital nations, where the core of our nations, the definition of our nations, are not about physical lines in the sand or central institutions, but around digitally based and centred focus and a vision. And I think that is where we're going to see the real change in the future. And so while our report earlier in the year and even the reports we made earlier were around how to make best of the journey that Malaysia had started, it is not easy to just switch those and change them overnight. I think the government and the industry acknowledge that. It's important that today's decision brings the ecosystem together and we start to take that journey and work to make sure that we are achieving the KPIs that really support Malaysia and willingly and that attracts the innovation. And I think I think the steps we've seen even now with the anticipation of maybe this review changing this framework are very encouraging. And from a GSMA point of view, at Mobile World Congress, we see a lot of active interest in Malaysia taking further steps to reassert itself as a leader in the region, which I think has sort of lost in these last couple of years as uncertainty in the 5G plan has undermined confidence and commitment to move forward.
The next two questions I'm going to ask you is going to be a bit tricky for you to answer. I know this because you're not part of the government, you're not part of Ericsson. So let's try to approach this in a very objective third-party bystander kind of view. First of the two questions, what is going to happen to Ericsson and its commercial terms with the government via DNB or via the dual wholesale network expectations of the announcement later on this afternoon? The second is, what happened to the kind of arguments that the government has been presenting on defending single wholesale network? Does this mean that all these arguments were actually no longer valid, or the arguments were actually weak that was presented by the government? How do you approach these two conversations, Ericsson and the government defending single wholesale network over the past few years?
Sure. I mean, there's obviously a commercial relationship between DNP and Ericsson, which would need to be dealt with. And I'm sure the industry will be part of that discussion because, I mean, it is an asset that's being built that's covering, you know, more than 50% of the population at the moment. And so it has to play a big part in Malaysia's 5G future. And I think I'm sure that consideration of being made in that steps. And I think maybe the 80% population coverage target for the end of the year is a nice step to maybe introduce, you know, whatever the changes they might consider appropriate. Going back to, you know, where does it go from here? I think, you know, there is a lot of interest in participating in Malaysia. And you know the changes that will be required are quite, you know, quite substantial, require some commitment and participation from the operators. And I think that, you know, we'll see, you know, there has already been, you know, positive commitment from a number of the operators to even participate in DNB. And so I think generally the potential, the willingness and the commitment to move forward is there. So I'm sure that whatever is decided today that can move forward positively.
Okay, and of course, let's now look at the hypothetical positioning and timeline of the announcement. We're looking at 3 p.m. announcement, and of course, assuming that it is what it is, i.e., the announcement of single dual wholesale network starting next year, what is the realistic timeline that you expect in terms of the rollout? And how far are we behind our peers in this region and globally? Are we really far behind, or is this a figment of our imagination? We're really just, you know, we're just behind the curve. What's the story there, Julian, when it comes to timelines?
Well, I think it's important to understand that 5G is, you know, not a short-term sprint. You know, we are seeing to the north, Thailand is more than 85% population coverage with a competitive network situation. Singapore, you know, it's hard to compare with Singapore, but Singapore is in the 98%+ population coverage of standalone networks, and moving ahead very fast. I think the, you know, the numbers that people look at and say maybe compare whether Malaysia's you know, on par where it should be is, you know, from a penetration and consumer adoption, you know, is falling behind even Indonesia, which hasn't even issued 5G spectrum yet. And so I think there's real possibility that Malaysia can catch up to those nominal markers quite quickly, you know, the 80% population coverage at the end of the year, increasing or getting those latent maybe 5G device owners on the network moving. It's probably not a huge market, a huge step with active and you know, interest from the operators and the network operators. But I think the challenge is going to be really in the innovation space. And, you know, it's, you know, there's a number of agencies we've been working with MDEC, Rantia, as I mentioned. Obviously, we continue to work with MCMC, and we're encouraged that there is a very positive enthusiasm and energy to get this right. And, you know, to us, it's no, you know, making this step quite early in the journey actually isn't admirable. You know, Rwanda took 10 years into a 25-year journey to take those to take vision that its single wholesale 4G network wasn't delivering its ambitions. And so it's I think it's never too late, you could say. And it's encouraging that there's so much commitment and support from the industry and the ecosystem to look at this review and see the results. So I think nominal measures, it won't be too hard to catch up on. More the, you know, focus needs making sure that we're activating that ecosystem and the diversity of innovators. And with the agencies from Malaysian government being actively involved, the operators may be becoming more involved and more maybe vendors and ecosystem investors coming on board. And it's just the removal of the uncertainty would do a big boost of energy for Malaysia's journey. And I do think that Malaysia can grow into more into its regional leadership ambitions within, you know, only a couple of years.
Final word, Julian, very short one. Do you feel that this is a positive development for Malaysia when it comes to 5G network development?
I think it's a positive step, and I think the watchers, the observers are looking for it, and we've seen some recent reports from analysts saying, you know, they expect a positive boost to the industry as equity values and commitment. I think that will help along with the certainty of a commitment decision to move forward.
Thank you very much. That was Julian Gorman of GSMA joining us live from Indonesia. We are also keeping track and keeping an eye on Putrajaya right now because much of the development might happen this afternoon at 3 p.m. Astro Awani will be presenting the news and coverage as well as in-depth analysis on 5G. We will have expert analysis on guests on 5G and network throughout the day. One particular guest that needs to be mentioned right now that will be presented to you later on in this afternoon is Datuk Dr. Rais Hussein of ME Research. ME Research has been presenting some stories and research on dual wholesale network or multiple wholesale networks on 5G. That is going to come on at 2 p.m. And of course, throughout the day, we'll be bringing some more updates on that. Again, 3 p.m. is the time when the Minister of Communications and Digital is expected to make the announcement. That is going to come after the cabinet meeting that is currently being done today, right now, in fact, at Putrajaya. And of course, this is a development that many of us in this sector and industry observers are watching, not just domestically, but of course, internationally. 5G is critical, if not to be seen as a national security issue. And of course, network communications, digital, and of course, telecommunications is indeed a very critical factor for us to be presenting right now. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Continue to stay with us on Astro Awani. For now, we'll go for a short break. When we come back, my colleagues are going to be continuing on the conversation on 5G and issues relating to current affairs around the country and abroad. We'll be right back after these messages.